Chapter 29. It was one of those moments where time seemed to freeze, seconds stretching into minutes as everything happened very slowly and very quickly, too quickly for Foggy's brain to process it all. One minute, he and Matt were turning at the intersection on Amsterdam Avenue, on their way to the emergency room to get Matt's eyes checked. The next minute, a white Nissan came flying out of West 114th Street and slammed into them. In the moment of that brutal impact, the only thought that flitted across Foggy's mind was that Theo was going to kill him for totaling his car. Other thoughts and sounds soon replaced that one. Airbags deployed, sirens wailed, and Foggy's head spun, horns honking somewhere behind him, but all he could think was how frightening it was that there was silence on Matt's side of the car. The passenger side had taken the brunt of the impact, but somehow he hadn't realized that right away. He realized it now and it terrified him. Matt was slumped in his seat, limp and unconscious, blissfully unaware of the terror that gripped Foggy. He reached for him, hampered by his seatbelt, pain radiating through his neck and shoulder as he wrestled with the damn thing. Either his hands were shaking too much or the seatbelt wouldn't release. He wasn't sure which it was. The only thing he was sure of was that Matt was hurt. He half-sobbed his name, fear rising in his chest when Matt didn't respond. Things happened in a hazy blur of panic after that as paramedics reached the car, wrenching the doors open and starting to assess the two of them. Foggy couldn't answer any of their questions, not without an answer to the only question that mattered. "Is he going to be okay?" he asked over and over, his urgency only increasing when no one gave him the answer he needed. The driver who had hit him was crying hysterically into a police officer's chest. Foggy glimpsed her through the windscreen, but he couldn't spare a thought for her, only Matt, who stirred weakly as a paramedic checked his pulse. Foggy had never been so relieved to see Matt's lips move, even if he wasn't totally coherent yet. "Sir, you've been in a car accident. We're going to take you to the hospital to get checked out," one of the paramedics murmured to Matt, who blinked and gave a vague nod. "Matt. His name is Matt." "Matt?" Foggy croaked, fighting tears, his throat feeling like it was going to tear in two at the sight of Matt so dazed and vulnerable. "Let's go, Matt," one of the paramedics said, lifting Matt onto a gurney and wheeling him into a waiting ambulance. Foggy's panic only intensified when Matt was out of his view. He didn't know if he was okay. Matt hadn't acknowledged his presence, and none of the paramedics had answered his questions. Foggy closed his eyes against the burn of tears and succumbed to the crushing weight of panic and pain, no longer resisting the paramedics or asking them anything at all as they assessed his injuries and loaded him into a second ambulance. The journey to the hospital passed quickly. It was some kind of cruel irony that he and Matt had been only a street away from it when they'd been hit. Foggy had no time to appreciate that. Upon arriving at the hospital, he was asked question after question by doctors, nurses, paramedics, and police, but no one answered his question. He asked the same one again and again. "Is Matt okay?" It was only after several hours of scans and tests, and about 50 interrogatory questions that covered everything from the accident to his pain level to his medical history and his connection to Matt, that he was finally allowed to see him. Matt was sitting alone in a waiting room, looking pale and shaken, but very much alive. It took all of Foggy's self-control not to run to him. Matt raised his head as soon as he approached, pain and deep weariness flickering across his face. Foggy didn't dare ask what Matt's pain level was. He was afraid that it exceeded his own, or that Matt would blame him for it, even though the accident hadn't been his fault. The police he'd spoken to had agreed on that much. "Hey," Matt murmured, as Foggy took a seat beside him in the waiting room. "Hey, what's the damage?" Foggy asked, a soft sigh escaping him. "I've got a concussion and a few fractured ribs." "I'll live," Matt said, with a brave kind of smile. "What about you?" "Whiplash and a couple of bruises." "I'm so sorry," Foggy mumbled, a painful lump rising in his throat. Matt just shook his head, his expression almost pitying as he reached out and took Foggy's hand in his. Foggy released a shaky exhale, but let Matt comfort him with that simple gesture. He closed his eyes and leaned back slightly, resting his head against the wall behind him, exhaustion sinking deep into his bones. "It wasn't your fault," Matt said gently. "She fell asleep at the wheel, you know, the other driver. I heard the cops talking to her. She's a nurse here." "No kidding," Foggy muttered, opening his eyes and taking note of Matt's sympathetic smile. "They checked my eyes, by the way. They're fine." "Well, not fine," Matt quickly amended. "But, you know, not worse or anything from the floor cleaner. They wrote me a prescription for some drops, just in case, but I'm not too worried." "Was that an I told you so?" "It sounded like an I told you so," Foggy mumbled wearily. He bit his lip, feeling a mixture of emotions, primarily guilt. It had been his insistence that Matt go to the hospital to get his eyes checked that had put the two of them in this situation. He wasn't about to apologize for caring about Matt, making sure he got medical care when he needed it, or even when he didn't, but didn't lessen the weight of guilt and responsibility he felt. "They thought I was abused, you know," Matt informed him, startling Foggy. "Why?" he exclaimed in shock. "Why would they think that?" "I have scars from Fight Club," Foggy breathed, shaking his head in disbelief. Matt didn't contradict him. Instead, he just shrugged his shoulders like it was no big deal. It kind of was, though. Foggy understood now why he'd been questioned so thoroughly by both the hospital staff and the police. They thought he'd hurt Matt. The idea made him feel so sick that he almost withdrew his hand. "They seemed to think I was more at risk for domestic violence, being blind. They sent a shrink down and everything," Matt admitted, grimacing. "So what did you tell them?" Foggy asked, frowning at him. "What do you think?" Matt scoffed, looking politely incredulous. "I told them that my boyfriend is the sweetest guy in the world and that you'd never lay a finger on me." "I never would, you know," Foggy said quietly. "I never want to hurt you." Matt just nodded and shifted slightly, resting his head on Foggy's shoulder and closing his eyes. A smile tugged at Foggy's lip at the sight of Matt so soft and trusting. He relaxed, some of the tension he'd held onto since the accident fading, the weight of his shoulders lifting as he looked at Matt. "Do me a favor, Foggy," Matt requested, not opening his eyes. "Anything," Foggy immediately agreed, squeezing Matt's hand. "Don't blame yourself for this." "I already know that you are," Matt quickly added before Foggy could argue with him. "But it could have happened to anyone." "It didn't, though," Foggy thought. "It happened to him. He was the one driving Matt. He was the one who'd made him go to the hospital. He was the one who dreaded telling Theo about the car. It was all such a mess." He rubbed his eyes wearily, almost tired enough to sleep like this, with his boyfriend leaning against him, but his feelings about the accident were a little too strong. They demanded to be freed, aired to Matt, and Matt alone. "If I hadn't made you come to the hospital," Foggy said, and Matt immediately sat up. "That's exactly what I'm talking about," he exclaimed emphatically, his eyes snapping open. "Let it go, Fog. We're both okay. A little worse for wear, but okay." "Yeah," Foggy reluctantly agreed. "Theo's going to kill me when he finds out about the car." He half wished that he and Matt had taken a cab or not gone to the hospital to get his eyes checked at all. That car was Theo's pride and joy. Foggy hardly ever drove it, and he would never drive it again now. It was insured. That was the good news. It would be repaired or replaced in time, and then Theo would never trust him with it again, no matter whose fault it was or how much Foggy argued the point with him. The point being that the car was half his anyway, and that the accident hadn't been his fault. "I talked to Theo already, and your mom. The nurses asked if I had family I wanted to call, Matt admitted with a shrug as Foggy looked at him in surprise and fought to restrain a smile. Your mom wanted us to stay with them for a few weeks, but I told her we were both fine, just a little banged up. She's going to make us a chicken casserole and drop it off later, so try to act fine when she visits, okay? Okay, Foggy agreed, smiling to himself. What did Theo say when you talked to him? He's worried about you, Matt murmured, something in his tone giving him away. Protective older brother that he might be, a worrier Theo Nelson was not. Foggy knew him. He would have asked Matt practical questions. When was the accident? Where? Which hospital? Were their injuries serious? What was the prognosis? What did the police say? Where was the car towed to? Did Matt need a cab called to take the two of them home? That was Theo, practical more than sentimental. If Theo was worried, Matt was reading that between the lines. His brother never would have said it outright. Foggy was reasonably certain of that. What else did Theo say? He asked, frowning doubtfully. He said if you deal with the insurance company for him, he'll send us a bouquet of bruschetta roses and a get-well card, Matt admitted with an amused smile. He'll do that for us anyway, but... He hates dealing with insurance companies, Foggy muttered, nodding his head. He does, Matt agreed, a small smile curving his lips as he leaned against him again. Foggy allowed it. He craved it. He needed the reassurance that came from Matt's touch and from knowing that his family had offered what support they could. The fact that they hadn't descended on the hospital en masse was a minor miracle, something he could no doubt credit to Matt's powers of persuasion. Your family's pretty great, you know, Matt mumbled, as Foggy smiled and squeezed his hand. So I've heard, he replied, shaking his head. You're really okay? I will be. Come here for a second, Matt pleaded, sitting up properly and leaning in. Foggy closed his eyes as Matt brushed a sweet, tender kiss to his lips, his mouth tasting like sugar. He'd been robbing the nurse's station of saltwater taffy, and Foggy adored him for it. He bit back a grin as he pulled away, breaking the kiss and tasting Matt's sweet little secret on his lips. It's going to be okay, Foggy, Matt murmured reassuringly, and Foggy nodded, unable to help believing him. End chapter 29.